here already. Brother James called me Wednesday night and asked me to do this, and I hadn't had much time to study. Y'all's going to discover here in just a minute. But it'll probably be pretty short, and two or three of you done told me short would be good. And if it's longer than you think it ought to be, I don't mind if you look at your watch, but don't shake it and make sure it's still running. The title of this is Keep Your Heart. And you're probably wondering what I'm talking about when I say keep your heart. But I want to compare a physical heart to a spiritual heart. Now, heart disease is one of the biggest killers in America today, they tell me. But what causes heart disease? Number one, it could be inherited. When you go to the doctor, when you get to filling out the papers, they want to know if you have any heart disease in your family. It could be your diet, what you've been eating that makes a bad heart. I know when they told me that I had high cholesterol, I'd watch things I ate, and they was telling me all the things that I couldn't eat, and eggs was one of them, especially the yellow part. And I said, but I like that part. But they claimed that was bad for you back then, but Sharon was telling me now that it helps your good, they decided it helps your good cholesterol, eggs do. But the peanut butter and the pizza and the french fries and all those good things, gotta go if you're on a high cholesterol diet. You gotta watch what you put in your system or it'll go to your heart. Third one is lack of bodily exercise. It's a big one. The heart, it's like a muscle, and if it don't get enough exercise, it'll slowly weaken, and it won't last long. Four, tobacco use. Now, Kenny knows about that. I know about it too. Tobacco use can be a big one. When you go try to get insurance, they want to know, are you a tobacco user? And even the doctor wants to know if you're a tobacco user. And if you can get insurance when you're a tobacco user, it's going to cost you a lot more, even if you can get it. Sometimes I don't think they'll even insure you if you use tobacco. But there's other ones, like stress and anger, that's hard on the heart. And the Bible talks quite a bit about the heart and its different meanings. I'm going to go over about four of them here. The heart sometimes means your understanding. And you don't have to turn to these scriptures if you don't want to, but you can write them down if you want to. Or you can turn to them, it don't matter. Romans 1:18. Now this heart in these scriptures is talking about your understanding. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Even to the lost people, it should be it says it's clearly seen even to them. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse, it says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart, there it is, was darkened. Now that's their understanding. That's what the heart's talking about here. Second one, sometimes the Bible teaching of the heart refers to our memory, and I'm sure that most of y'all will remember the scripture here in Psalms 119:11. Does anyone know that without looking it up? 119:11, we quote it quite a bit. See people thinking about it, the wheels are grinding. Does anyone know what it is? I bet you remember it when I tell you. No, that's not it. Thy word have I hidden my heart. What's the rest of it, Addy? You know the rest of that scripture? That's right. Thy word have I hid in my heart. There's the word, heart. I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hiding the word in our hearts is the same as committing it to memory. We ought to do that. We ought to commit his scripture to memory. The third one is, the heart is sometimes taught to mean conscience. In 1 John 3:20 it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." So it's talking about our conscience there in that scripture, the heart is. Another one is, sometimes it's talking about the inner man. The Bible says that while man can only look on the outside, God can and does look on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." That's upon the inner man. And you may fool a lot of people, and you may fool all the people, but you won't fool God. He sees your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the inner man. And then there's another one. That's the center part. Matthew 12:40. Now the Jews use the word heart to denote the interior of a thing, or to speak of being in a thing. It means here to be in the grave or the sepulchre. This is talking about when Christ was. Well, let's read it. Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." There it is, the heart of the earth. That's in the grave, the center of something. Now, a lesson scripture. And I want to see if y'all know this scripture that we're... turn to Proverbs 4:20. I'm sure if you don't know this scripture, this 4:23 we're going to get down to, I wish you would commit this scripture to heart. Proverbs 4:20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." Now there's one heart right there. We're going to get back to that in just a second. And that's a different one than the one on down here. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all the flesh." Now here's the main scripture I want you to look at. And when good times come, when bad times come, when temptations come, remember the scripture. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth," or a false and dishonest mouth, "and perverse lips put far from thee." That's people that's talking contrary. That's contrary talk. "Let thine eye," here's how you keep thy heart with all diligence. "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." That is keeping your heart with diligence. What does it mean to be diligent? Have you thought about that? He says you're supposed to keep your heart diligent. Diligent means don't waste no time. Keep your eye on the object. I mean, that should be your center thought, to keep your heart right. Keep your heart right with God. And it goes on to say, "For out of it are the issues of life." Now this heart in 21, it's talking about the mind. Keep them in your mind. It says the heart. But it means keep them in your mind. 23, it says, it refers to the inner man or the soul. "And what the heart is to the body, the soul is to the man. And what health is to the heart, that holiness is to the soul." Now, as I said before, there are four major causes a physical heart disease, and there's probably more than that, and Sean could probably tell you. I didn't ask him, but is there any more important than those? Inheritance and lifestyle. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to stick with these four then, or five. I think they're pretty good ones. Let's compare them to spiritual heart disease. Now, we started out with spiritual heart disease. Spiritual heart disease is, it may be inherited. It is inherited. Spiritual heart disease is. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? And here's the scripture. Go and look it up or write it down. 1 Corinthians 15:21. It says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of death. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We inherited that bad heart from Adam. That's where it came from. Unless there's a change in that heart, we are in bad trouble. Ephesians 4:17, it says, "For this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not after other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." That's what we inherited from Adam, blindness in our heart. That's a spiritual bad heart, you might say. Our spiritual diet can ruin our spiritual hearts. And I'm talking about what we let go into our minds and hearts. What kind of things are we supposed to put in our minds and hearts? And we know a lot of things that we're not supposed to put in there. Now, here's some of the things that you are to have a healthy heart, spiritual heart. Here's some things you ought to think on. Colossians 3:1. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ," and who is risen with Christ? His people, his children, are risen with Christ. They've already been through this first resurrection. That's a child of God. "Seek those things which are above." That's one good thing you can put into your body, or your spiritual body. "Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. Now, the bad things would be the things of earth. If we set our affections on them and put them in that inner man, it's going to hurt our spiritual heart. But if we set our affections on things above, we're going to have a healthy spiritual heart. And we got on this one in Sunday school the other day, Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's what you're supposed to take in your spiritual heart. "Those things which ye have learned and both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you." You're going to have a healthy heart if you think on these things. But when we start off the day, what do we start off thinking of? Maybe the problems of the day. Maybe somebody did me wrong. But I don't see any of them in there. It don't say think on that kind of thing. That poisons the heart. But if we're going to think on the right kind of things, these are the kind of things we ought to think on. That is good for your heart. Then Romans 12:1. And this is a favorite scripture of mine. And it's hard to live up to this scripture. But he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And I mean, if you really got down to what that living sacrifice is, that would be a tight Christian walk. I'm afraid we don't wind up there. And he goes on to say what this living sacrifice is: holy, acceptable unto God. And he says, that's just your reasonable service. That's not beyond the call of duty. That's something you're supposed to do. And he says, "Be not conformed to this world." And if we're being conformed to this world and taking in the things of the world, it's hard for our spiritual heart. We're not going to have the right kind of heart. Our heart's not going to be right. But be ye transformed. Here's the good side of it. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. There's all kinds of things, good and bad, we can put in our lives. And here are some of the good things, and here's some of the bad things. And you're going to get out of your heart, either physical or spiritual, what you put in it. I mean, there's no way around that. And just as lack of physical exercise is bad for the heart, lack of spiritual exercise is bad for the spiritual heart also. Well, what kind of spiritual exercise am I talking about? There's two different kinds that I know of. Walking. Sharon likes to walk every day. Sometimes I walk every day. I don't know if you can say sometimes I walk every day or not. Sometimes I walk, maybe. I used to walk every day. When I get around to it, I walk now. But it's good for your heart, just walking. And I used to run a little bit. I don't think I'd get this body to do it now. I sure couldn't get it to go very far if I did run it. But walking is a good exercise. And there's a lot of scripture in the Bible that talks about walking in the Christian walk. First one, Romans 6:4. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's one walk. Walk in newness of life. Not walk in the old way before you were saved. After you're saved, you're supposed to walk, have a new kind of walk. You're not supposed to do the things you used to do. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is a short verse here, but there's a lot in it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And one scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do we walk by faith? Are we all, when things go bad, do we have faith in Romans 8:28? Everyone here just about can quote that scripture. But when that thing gets down to us, can we say that by faith that thing's working out for me, for my good? The Bible says it is. We're supposed to have faith in that. We're supposed to have faith in God. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Created in Christ Jesus to walk in good works. Colossians 1:8. I don't know, y'all may not even have time to keep up with me here, but I'm trying to keep it short. 1:8. Who also declared unto you us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now here's the scripture. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. There's another way to walk. This is spiritual exercise as far as I can see it. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a walk. That's part of the exercise. But there's another good physical exercise compared to, a physical exercise, run. I don't run. Is anybody here run anymore? No. Just the little ones? Just the young people. I know these kids do, but us older ones don't run very much more unless something's after us. But we're supposed to do some running. I mean, we may not do it physically, but in the spiritual realm, we're supposed to run. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And Apostle Paul's talking here. He says, "Know ye not that they which run," there's the first run, they're in a race, "and in a race run all," they all run, "the one receiveth the prize," the best one. It's not like it is now. Everybody's supposed to be a winner now, according to what I've been hearing on the news. There's no losers. Everybody's got to be a winner. But that's not real life. Some will win and some will lose. And it's the same way in this kind of race here. He says, "Know ye that they which run in a race run all." And it's the same. It should be the same way today, but they're trying to teach it different. But it says, "One receiveth the prize," and that's the way it's supposed to be. Best one is supposed to win the prize. So run, there it is, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That's not the right kind, but we an incorruptible. Now he's going to get back to the running here. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty." He don't waste no time. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He don't waste his time beating the air. He gets after it. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Now that's how he's running. "Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So there's a running in the spiritual too. Another one, Hebrews 12:1. Here he's going to tell you how you ought to run. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." Now, we got to let these things go or it's going to hinder us in the run. And some athletes, I know back when I was in school, they wanted to jump higher. I remember when I first started out, if I could get the net on that basketball, and I bet some of you young people still trying to get the net. But it's a big thing just to jump up and get the net. But you get older, you want to go get up there and touch the rim. Then if you can grab a hold to that rim, it's something extra. But if you can stuff the ball, you done it all. But they'd wear these weights on their legs, and they'd build the muscles up in their legs. And when they take the weights off of their legs, they could jump higher and build their muscles up. And that's what he's saying here. Take these weights off so that you can run better, because they're holding you back. He says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now here's scripture here. "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." I don't think anybody here can say they done that. But they did it in the old days. There was a lot of them in the arenas that they turned lines loose on them. They resisted sin unto the end. But just as tobacco is bad for the heart, there are things that we let slip into our hearts that is bad for our spiritual hearts. And we got on this scripture in Sunday school, so it'd probably not be new to you. But it's Ephesians 5:1. You that weren't in here this morning, you missed this, so you're going to get it tonight. Here's some things that we don't need to let get into our heart. Just like tobacco, it filters into your heart, ruins your heart. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." He's talking to God's children here. "And walk," there's that walk again. I didn't get that one, but walk. Our exercise, "walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." But fornication, now here's some of the things that you don't want to let get in your spiritual life. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, a kingdom of Christ and of God. There's a bunch of things that we're not supposed to let get into our lives, and what's going to happen if we do let them get into our lives. We don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. We went over that this morning, but we're not going to do it tonight. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, there's another result that's going to happen if you do get into these things. Cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's the way we're supposed to walk. Don't let these things get in. Here's the things you should let get in. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't take those bad things in your heart. And if we do, we can expect some consequences from them. Now we're going to get back to that scripture over there in Proverbs. When temptation comes upon you, do as the scripture says. Proverbs 4:23. If you don't get anything else out of this tonight, try to remember this scripture when you're going through hardships, good times, bad times, temptations. Keep this scripture in your mind. When I was having problems this week, I thought of this scripture. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't waste no time. Don't look to the left or right. Keep your eyes on the right things in life. Keep your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. If you want a healthy spiritual heart, we have to be diligent at all times. And to be diligent, well, you know what that means. Pay attention. Make every effort. Don't waste time. But why should we be diligent? 1 Peter 5:8 says, and I know all of y'all will remember this after I started. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. If we don't keep our heart with all diligence, the devil's going to jump on it. Heart trouble is a terrible thing, physically or spiritually. If you have not been born again already, you've got heart trouble. And Galatians 4:6. Now this is talking another heart. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that's your inner man. And without him sending his Spirit into your heart, you will never call out to God for salvation. Or call him your father. That's what it's saying. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You might say, God does heart surgery on people. I guess you could say that. Because if he don't enter into your heart, make you a new heart, you're going to have the same old, cold, stony heart. Another one says about the same thing, Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He comes into our hearts and does that. But this one here in Jeremiah 31:33, I'm just about done, y'all. Jeremiah 31:33. It says, this is another heart scripture, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. Now this is God coming into their hearts. And this is good. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, this is a good one to mark. He said, I will put my law in their inward parts, and if he don't do that, you are in bad heart trouble. And write it in their hearts. He said, he's going to write it in your hearts. And will be their God, and they shall be my people. 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And I mean, them are special scriptures right there. Their hearts have been fixed. Are you one of them? I hope all of you are. If you are not, you have heart trouble, spiritual heart trouble right now. And if God has done a work in your heart, you will want to be saved. And you might say, well, what do I do to be saved? And there's a scripture you ought to look up, Acts 16:31. If you have the desire to be saved, you've never been known Christ as your Savior, and you have that desire, God has done a work in your heart. Because without him dealing with your heart, you will never want to. It's in Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. What more can you say than that? Trust him to save you from your sins. Trust in his sacrifice. Because he's the only one that can do it. But like I said a while ago, if you didn't get anything else out of this, keep that scripture in mind. Keep your heart with all diligence. Tell yourself that when you're going through things during the day. Keep your heart, or keep my heart, with all diligence. That's something we need to think about every day. What, no matter whether it's good times or bad or whatever, keep your heart with all diligence. Let's stand.